And with respect to the Parliament, the Prime Minister explaining that the Parliament was to formally dissolve today at 11 a.m. The decision has now been made to defer that formal dissolution until Monday. This is because while the Cabinet is able to continue once Parliament is dissolved and to make decisions, it would prevent any possible reconvening of Parliament if necessary. It would also prevent perhaps any moves on adjusting the election date. That consideration is only at the very early stages, the Prime Minister says, but the formal dissolution has been extended to Monday. Our political editor, Jane Patterson, has been listening into the media conference. Jane, good morning.
Good morning, Catherine.
First, the most significant elements of this information for you?
I suppose politically, in terms of that broad picture, the election date. So it is obviously still very much in play, and they will wait to see whether that date needs to be changed. And the dissolution today is important because up until Parliament dissolves, the Prime Minister can change the election date. Once Parliament's dissolved, then it's up to the Electoral Commission, as well as those other things that you've pointed out. But I think, look, obviously the country's biggest city going into lockdown and signals today that 3 days is probably quite an initial phase, hugely significant. Also that news about Rotorua and the potential casual contacts being traced there as well. So really a feeling that everything's starting to gear up, everything's starting to ramp up, testing, contact tracing, in the bid to maybe take lessons from Victoria and shut this thing down as quickly as possible.
With respect to the decisions the Prime Minister faces, that technicality of postponing the dissolution, Parliament's already risen, everyone's gone, but of postponing the formal dissolution, just explain again, this leaves options open to go the full gamut and reconvene if need be, or perhaps to consider reinstituting the Epidemic Response Committee.
That's right.
When it
That's
comes right. to the election itself, though, that election date, who makes decisions based on what about whether September the 19th holds?
Well, that is, the significance of the dissolution, because up until Parliament dissolves, the decision sits with the Prime Minister. She's a politician, so there's an element, as objective as you try to be, you're a politician effectively responsible for that. After that, it is a decision made by the Electoral Commission, and we had a briefing a few weeks back in preparing for the election, and obviously the second wave had been talked about, and it really comes down to whether people can vote safely. That will be the threshold, and it sounded like postal voting wasn't really an option that would or online voting, sorry, that could swing in. They were really talking about potentially pushing the date out because the feeling was that they did need to be able to set up polling booths, and under the scenarios they could have held, or you could still hold an election under level 2, but anything above that, it was starting to get tricky. So at the moment, for example, you could not hold an election day in Auckland under the current restrictions, but of course some way away. So they have just obviously pushed that out. This date had really, the timing of it in terms of coming the day after these positive tests really put the pressure on, and I think pushing it out to Monday, it gives consideration, because it's very important to note Cabinet and the ministers responsible can still operate, they'll still meet, they can still make decisions. This is about Parliament, so it's about the other political parties, it's about the convening of the House for legislation, for select committees, all of that sort of thing that is the mechanism for legislation and also for scrutiny on the government. So that's really, once Parliament dissolves, that all is stopped and ceased.
What we saw during the last lockdown, the real role for opposition parties was with the Epidemic Response Committee. And this is the tricky business, isn't it? What's going to happen here? Is this going to be contained? Have we had possibly the clearest run you could possibly have up to an election till now, and possibly now a manageable blip? Or does it get to the point where a COVID emergency response is at such a level that you begin to question the fairness of an election right now?
Well, it brings into play the convention before any election about the role of the government. And really there's a convention that when you're getting into this period, in fact even a bit earlier, that you're not making significant decisions unless they're in a crisis, without really trying to take a bipartisan approach. And we saw that in 2008 when Helen Clark and John Key, leader of the National Party, were heading into the global financial crisis, and they agreed on the bank guarantee loan together, and they presented it together. And that's, you know, really the territory we're going to have to start talking about, because there's a huge political advantage. Of course, the government has no choice but to lead and, of course, do a good job, but it does absolutely raise issues of fairness and exposure in a time that makes all of these questions just even more important and significant.
The second point is that Epidemic Select Committee was the sole remaining democratic institution acting under lockdown in the fullest sense of the word, in the political sense of the word. And regardless of what happens with the election date, although we're down to, what are we, somewhere between six and 5 weeks, it's getting close, the reconstituting of that select committee could be a valid response to a more prolonged outbreak.
That's right, and particularly when we don't have the daily business of the House, we're not going to have a resumption. Even within lockdown, Parliament was going to come back and resume some kind of usual business. But also remember when the government agreed to the Epidemic Response Committee, in recognition of that special role and that unique role at the time, the opposition leader at the time, Simon Bridges, was put in charge of it. They were given a majority on that committee, and that gave them the ability to call ministers, call officials who they wanted, and it gave them very good access. And Mr. Bridges, of course, you know, that was a busy committee, and there were lots of really interesting submissions. And, you know, we've been making the point today that scrutiny more than ever is important, and, you know, they will have to, if this is going to be more long-term, there will have to be a mechanism to provide that.
There is time. We've had elections. We had elections as late as December. We can have elections as late as December. There is time to postpone if this expands and it is, what did we have last time, a 6-7 week full lockdown. There is time to postpone. At what point is there going to have to be a serious weighing up of first whether both the government and the opposition's focus has to be on COVID and the mechanism set up to deal with it, and the election has to wait, or second, that there is a real fairness issue in terms of having a proper election campaign? These questions, I guess, can only be answered as we see in the next week or more what happens here. Would that be the time frame?
Even then, I don't actually think it's necessarily only going to be tied to this event, because, as you say, we're several weeks out from the election, but there could be an outbreak in another part of the country. We could go to a full national lockdown. There are many scenarios that could play out. So I actually think it's incumbent on both of the parties, in fact all parties, to start having that conversation now, because the last thing that New Zealand needs when we're heading into something like this is political bickering. I think people would be looking for mature and constructive political leadership, and that's, as I said, the responsibility of everybody involved here. But I think it would be a very good conversation for them to be having, because even if they lock down Auckland and it's contained, then what happens next week or the week after? You just really can't keep having those conversations, especially if then the election process is closer and more locked in as well.
It's 5.5 weeks, plus early voting starts 2 weeks before the election. It's 3.5 weeks to early voting. There's only so long to make this decision. Again, I come back to whether the so-called 3 days, but in reality 7 days, to find out whether this is fairly localised and lightly contained or something else. I mean, that time frame is just getting paper thin, isn't it?
Well, Well, that timeframe's, you know, just over the incubation period that we've been talking about and that we've been seeing the government set other levels, whether it's going down or up into, in this case, into levels, not this time, of course, the 3 days, but, I mean, that's how short it is, that's how tight it is, not even in terms of being able to be very, very satisfied that the Auckland outbreak has been contained and we're barrelling towards an election campaign. And, of course, we don't even know how this is going to change how the parties campaign. They've all suspended their campaigns, of course, for now and probably for the rest of the week, including National's campaign launch. Labor was able to launch their campaign on Saturday with much fanfare. National, which was due to launch in South Auckland this Sunday, I don't think that'll be going ahead. So all of these things are just starting to barrel up, and I think the government's going to have to take all of that into account, again, in fairness to all parties involved here.
Against this also is that we have had a comparatively clear run till now, 102 days, and if you postpone, how long do you postpone? What happens if there's an outbreak then? That period, though, that gap between September and December, say, that 12-week period, oh, goodness, I'm just trying to do the maths on all this. It's it's extraordinary, isn't it? But definitely the window for making a decision about September 19th is closing pretty fast when you take into account early voting. And as you said, the actual formal processes that have to unfold.
That's right. And again, these will be, you know, there are many layers to the government response on the ground, but then these ones that are incredibly important, and just the deadlines imposed by the Electoral Act once you start the ball rolling, and one of those is the dissolution of Parliament, because then that the Governor-General then issues the writ for the election. It has a domino effect, so you can't just say, oh, we'll think about it in a few weeks. These are decisions that are going to have to be made very soon, and as I said, in consultation with the other parties as well.
Was it a bit of a backhand I heard from the Prime Minister there, saying that she briefed the Leader of the Opposition last night quite fulsomely, which I have to correct fully, but quite fully, and then it appeared in the media. Was that a bit of a ticking
I
off?
I was not there.
Right,
I was heading back up, so I missed that. I'm heading back up to the studio, so right. I did not hear that. Sorry, Catherine.
Interesting, but one would think, all parties' views on the election status would at least have to be taken into account here. Although, as you say, as a result of that deferral from 11 a.m. this morning till Monday, the deferral of the dissolution, at the moment the decision stays in the Prime Minister's hands. Jane, it's 2020, isn't it? Thank you. We'll talk again soon. Jane Patterson, RNZ's political editor.